So think back on your last week, and we do this with the teens as well. So how'd you do with your devotions this week? Did you get a devotion in every day? And you don't have to, I'm not asking for a show of hands. How'd you do with time for prayer? How did your week go? We've been working with the teens and on myself, and this is true for all of us, on how we respond to certain situations. So we've been talking about anger. So let me ask you this. Did you get angry this week? And if you did, was it something worthwhile to get angry about? So we've been encouraging the kids to focus on the facts and not on their feelings, and to respond to the facts and not their feelings. So was it worthwhile getting angry over? Sometimes we have to pick and choose. All right, is this really worth getting upset over? Okay, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. So, and then this is a Pastor Nate thing with regards to any actions or reaction or decisions you made this week. Did you have a Bible reason for it? We want to remember to put our lives based on what the Lord would have us. So, think about your past week and how'd you do? And we can always do better, I'm sure. So we did a computer conversion at our office this week. And frustrations can run high. And I remember catching myself one time getting like a little out of control, but I got it. The Lord was gracious and helped me get it under control. And we got through the week, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be. Ooh, and I better silence my phone here. Hold on. All right, so the lesson title today is What Do You See? Turn to Matthew chapter 9. What do you see? Matthew 9, we're going to look at verse 35 and 36. Verse 35 is the context, and then verse 36. And so we're going to make your minds work today, and I'm not just going to feed you information. You're going to need to be thinking today. So we're going to do a study specifically around verse 36 and then some other things as well. So Matthew chapter 9, 35 and 36. So starting in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So verse 35, the context. So Jesus is going about all the cities and villages, and he's teaching and preaching and healing. And you can imagine if today we had someone like that, it would draw our attention. And back in those days, it did the same. So there were multitudes of people obviously following him. And so he sees the multitudes. And so tell me in verse 36, what are the key words that you see? And you can just speak out. I want this to be interactive. What do you see as the key words in verse 36 as we study verse 36? And I found the squeaky spot, so I got to move.
Compassion.
Yeah. Fainted. Yep. Okay. No shepherd. Okay. Moved. Yes. Saw. I like that one. Yeah, okay. Remember, the title of the lesson is What Do You See? Good. So, what do those words mean? Well, obviously, saw is our vision and how we're looking. When it says, so, when, you know, I'm a doctor. When I think of fainting, I think someone collapsing on the floor, right? So, were these people fainting?
No.
So what is the word faint mean there? What do you think it means there? Maybe you have a study Bible and it gives you some other words or suggestions. Pardon?
Harassed.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. That's not a word I had thought of. Okay. Weak. Yes. Okay. Weak in what way? What do you think? Maybe. Tired. Yeah. I mean, the Bible doesn't really say in that verse what in the idea was is weakness. I like to think it's both physical. I mean, he was healing them of their illnesses and diseases. But don't you think he was thinking more along the lines of them spiritual needs? The multitudes and multitudes of people who he saw their spiritual need. These people were emotionally suffering. They did not know the Lord. Okay. Compassion. When you think of the word compassion, what would you define that? How would you define that word? Bill? Pardon? Empathy. Okay. Yes. Right. Good. Yes.
Feeling alongside of them. In other words, taking their burdens and making them yours, and trying to bear them.
Did I see another hand? Chris? Right. Right. And so, if you look up the definition of compassion, it's a deep couple of different definitions, but the same idea: deep awareness of the suffering of another, coupled with the wish to relieve it. Understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distresses, together with a desire to alleviate it. So I think you guys got the right idea, and that's what I want to get across. Jesus was moved with compassion. So it wasn't like he just felt sorry for them, as you were mentioning. It was and when you think about it, when you hear the word compassion, maybe you felt compassionate towards someone, it's a deep, deep feeling of you know, wanting to help and then doing something about that need for help as well. We show compassion with our, you know, church members and in our community all the time. I think of helping with Joanne Watson across the way. You know, you go and spend some time with her. When Linda Denningham was still alive, helping Chuck out and providing meals for them, and then how we helped the family through her death. That's just a couple of examples. So the compassion that Jesus is showing here is he saw them weary spiritually, and it moves him. And it says that they were scattered abroad. What does it mean they were scattered abroad? And then it goes on to use the example of sheep gone astray. What is the picture being made there in that verse about that part of the verse? Uh-huh, okay. Physically or spiritually? Yeah. I mean, they weren't scattered abroad at that moment. They were all together in a multitude, right? So can you So I tend to think that, yes, Keith? Good. Okay. So I think of it as, again, more in the spiritual realm, and knowing Jesus, I think that's what his main focus was, is that these were, and this describes today, people that are just living their lives, not really knowing what life is all about, that we're creations of the Lord and he wants a relationship with us. And these people did not really know and understand that. Okay. So how valuable are the sheep? Think about the 90 and 9, what the shepherd did to go after that one lost sheep, and the rejoicing that occurred at the recovery of that one lost sheep is a description of how the Lord is so loving and compassionate and wanting to restore our relationship with us, that when that one lost sheep turns to the Lord, there's great, great rejoicing. All right. So what does the verse reveal about Jesus, about God? Pretty simple. Pardon? He loves us, yes. Okay. Yep.
He understands our deepest needs.
Yep. Okay, good. He's compassionate, right? An attribute of God is compassion. But not just like feeling sorry for us, okay? He did something for us. He sent the Lord to save us. So what does the verse teach you? And you can think about that for yourself. So I think we looked at what the meaning of the verse is. What I want us to see is, how does this apply to us? Again, the title of the lesson is, what do you see? So when you see the multitudes, so pretty soon... is Bill. So pretty soon the football stadiums will be full with thousands of people, right? The baseball stadiums are full of thousands of people. I watch golf on TV. Years ago, there was a guy who would stand. He had a big, big multicolored wig, and he had a sign that said John 3:16, and he would always stand in a place where the TV camera would come on him. That was very cool. But anyway, the multitudes at the golf courses and all of that. And so when you see the multitudes, and I'm going to bring it a little bit closer to home here towards the end of the lesson, are you feeling compassionate? Are you seeing lost people who need the Lord as Jesus saw these people in needing the Lord? As we know in our day and age today, there's a lot of people that just really don't know. And so if that's applying to us, what change in my actions, what change in your mind or in your actions do you need to ask God to help you with? Okay. So again, we want to use the Bible to apply to our everyday life. So what change in your mind or in your actions do you need to make that ask God to help you with? So Jesus' view was compassion. How are you viewing people? Turn to Luke 10. A very familiar passage. Talks about compassion. Starting at verse 25, Luke 10, 25. And I'm going to read right through to 37. So bear with me. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, answering, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. So, 3 men come along and see this man that has been robbed and beaten and left half dead. And there's what? So let me ask you, what did the 3 men see? Okay. They all saw the same thing, didn't they? Right? Okay. Which was someone in need. So the priest's response was to walk a wide angle around the person. And then the Levite, the same thing, but the Samaritan, and if you remember, the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews, and it's clear that Jesus is talking to a Jewish lawyer, and so the lawyer would have been like, wow, a Samaritan did that, and the Jewish people didn't even stop and help this guy. And so the Samaritan saw the same thing, but what does it say? In verse 33, it says he had compassion on him. So this is a great example of what true compassion is. So they all saw the same thing, someone in need. But this man was moved to the point of doing something about it. And we know what he did. So, which person are you? And so, if it's someone who's dressed nicely and they walk through the door and they're all nice and friendly, that's pretty easy. It's interesting. So, I see all walks of life in my office, and sometimes you can't always go by looks. So I've had bikers come in, and they're all in their leather, and in their tattoos, and they've got the chain hanging down for their wallet and the big leather boots. And so, that person has a reputation, right? But they are sometimes the most polite and respectful and responsive compared to some other people. So you can't always go by your looking. But how many of you have been down to Boston recently, or even in Concord or Manchester? We've got homeless people. And I have to admit, I struggle with this. I'll see someone sitting on the curbstone and they're half asleep, well, they are asleep and they're all, you know, and you think, all right, and you just sort of walk by. I guess if they were laying there dead, I had a very unique experience. I didn't have to do anything about it. So I bike ride early in the morning. And last summer, so we had a dog on our street that would chase me on my bike. So I would put the bike on the bike rack, drive down just to the bottom of my hill to where there's a parking area, and then I would start my bike ride from there so I'd have to deal with the dog. Well, in the parking lot, so this is Millstream. Millstream is the parking area along the river. And there's this couple parked in their car. This is like at 5:30, 6 in the morning. I get up early. And I happened to look in, and they looked really pale, and they were not moving. And I couldn't even tell if they were breathing or not. And I looked, and I looked, and I said, so I went on my bike ride, and I'm thinking about them the whole way, and I'm thinking, should I pound it on the window? So when I came back, they were still there. And I mean, I got right up on the window and looked in the window, and they were breathing. So later on, I just let them be. I later on, I went down and the car was gone, so I knew that they were okay. But I think they probably had drugs in them and they were sleeping it off. They were not local people, that's for sure. But you know, I was on the fence. Okay, what do I do here? But we've all seen street people and we wonder about that, you know. So what do we see? What do we see? So let me ask you this. So I'm hopeful that most of us are the Samaritans. Hopefully all of us are. So what does compassion look like? What are some things that you would expect a person who's compassionate to be like? What are some kind? Absolutely. That's one of the words I wrote down. Absolute. Pardon?
Giving.
Excellent. Good.
Caring.
Good. Can you think of anything else? Okay. Good. Willing. Yep. You have to be willing. Yep. And you know, sometimes the giving part, it may be that, you know, you help someone out financially even too. Have to be careful with that with street people. In Jamaica, they're always outside McDonald's hanging around, and there's two McDonald's in Jamaica. Sometimes we would buy them a meal, but we wouldn't give them any money. And you can do that for street people too. So anyway, there's one other word you haven't mentioned. How about friendly? Friendly. So compassionate people are kind, giving, helping, friendly. Good. So let me ask you, how are we doing on time? Pretty good. We're good. All right. So how do you view the world and the people around you? How do you respond to those around you? Do they see Jesus in you at home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood, at church? Think about your last week. Were you moved with compassion in some way this past week? Let me look at my notes here for a second. Yes. So Psalm Psalm 86:15 tells us that this is an attribute of God, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassions and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. So it says he's full of compassion. So not just a little bit, but full of compassion. No limits placed on that as well. So do you look at people different from you through Jesus' eyes? Can you see past the outward opinion you may have formed and see their lost spiritual condition and their value to God? Or how do you see people? Are you moved with compassion? So we need to examine our hearts and ask God to give us a greater compassion for those who are around us. So I'm going to tell you a brief story, and then I have something I'd like to read to you as well. It's the lyrics of a song. I'm going to be done a little bit early. You can have a time to fraternize some more, so that's good. I would say I've lost track of time. 4 to 6 weeks over the last, not recently, but 4 to 6 weeks ago, Pastor Andrew gave several messages on reaching out to the lost, right? And then when we had VBS, we had the special speaker. And he talked about that as well. And he gave an example that really pricked my heart. So he talked about his response to, and I don't remember the details because it's been several weeks now, to someone and how they were driving and how it irritated him. Well, the very day before, I was driving and I was at a place to stop to pull out onto another street. And I could see there was cars way, way, way down. And so I pulled out. Well, the next thing I know is there's this guy right behind me, and he's tooting at me. And it's like, did I pull out too fast in front of him? I don't think so. And the next thing I know, double line, he's zooming around me. And so what is our response to that type of person? Right? You jerk. What are you doing? I didn't do anything wrong. And I felt really bad and I look back, I don't think I did. Not 1 or 2 minutes later. So I'm heading from Bristol I'm heading from Bristol to exit 23. But I'm trying to remember why I took up the back road. But anyway, I turned at where you turn at the blinking light that goes into the little village of New Hampton, where the New Hampton prep school is. So I turn in there, and there's this truck, not the same people. Obviously, that other person had gone flying by. And this truck was right on my tail. And I'm going slow because it's a little small road and community, and there's, it's the school and the kids. And he revs out, and he goes flying by me. And, of course, my response is, you jerk, what are you doing, right? So the next day, the sermon, right? And his preaching was the fact that, we need to understand these people that do these crazy things probably have something going on in their lives that they're acting that way. And so from now on, and in fact it happened yesterday, I look at people, maybe an example, but it's just when people are not acting, when a driver does something crazy to me and I don't think I did anything wrong, I pray for them and say, that person needs the Lord. There's something going on in their life that they're acting in this crazy, crazy way. And so there are always people in our lives that are doing and acting in ways that are not good. And so we need to look at them, and again, I'm talking to myself, through Jesus' eyes, as people that have a spiritual need. So like Bill, when you're watching the football game, I want you to pray for every person in that stadium. But really, can you think about, and same as in our neighborhood here in Hill, and I'm going to challenge you on something about our neighborhood here in a second. But I mean, I tell the kids downstairs, how many of you live in the Village of Hill? Right? One person from the whole town of Hill is here this morning, right? This area needs the Lord. And we've been trying to reach them, obviously. We're not ignoring them. But we need to show compassion. So at my house, if someone drives by, whether I know who it is or not, I wave. Okay? Except to my neighbors, the Robisons, you know, they're nasty neighbors. I pray for them every day. So when you guys are leaving or coming to church, if there's someone in the neighborhood walking by or they're driving by, wave to them. Or I've gone out sometimes between like the coffee break just to get some fresh air or whatever, and the people or the kids are out there walking around riding their bikes. Say, hi guys, how you doing today? You don't have to go, they don't have to witness to them even, but just be friendly to them. That's showing compassion. And I know that the teens have invited kids from the neighborhood to come to church. But it would be horrible if our neighbors saw us driving by. So if they're out, like the guy across the street, the sheriff's car, you know, I wave to him every time. He doesn't look at me. But we need to show them we're nice, friendly people. That's what the Lord would want us to do. So that's my challenge to you today. So let me read. Yeah, so we're still good. So this is a song, and I'm just going to read the lyrics to you. The name of the song, and I'm going to warn you, because this really, really moves me whenever I read this or when I hear the song. But the name of the song is People Need the Lord. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. Isn't that true today? What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. So I challenge you today. I'm challenging myself. That when we look at the people out there, we look at them through Jesus' eyes, have compassion on them, pray for them, try and reach out to them as best we can. Any other thoughts or comments that anyone has about what we've studied this morning? A true Granite Stater.
Waves. And it was something that I was taught was polite. And so when I drive on my road and I wave to people, even people who now live there, and they don't wave at me, I get a little mixed.
Not anymore, though, right? Yes. Well, they're not waving because they've got something going on in their life. Yes. So, I don't know, have you had the experience where someone waves before you and you say, oh, that's a friendly person, you know? Yeah, it makes you feel good, right? All right, that's just it's a simple thing we can do. All right, so you have 5 minutes to fraternize, okay?